Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're learning more about a 23-year-old man who died near NC State. WRAL is live from a growing memorial where friends shared memories of the victim.
And I know you've seen that hazy sunshine we're seeing out there right now. Code orange air quality alert for today. But I'll show you how things begin to change for us tomorrow.
And you didn't win the Powerball last night. You could strike it rich tonight with Mega Millions, where that jackpot stands this noon.
We're learning more about a crash last night on Western Boulevard, just steps away from NC State. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Sky 5 flew over the scene. As you can see, several cars were involved. Raleigh police say one man died at the scene from a gunshot wound. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is live at the scene and just spoke to friends of the victim. Chelsea, what did they say?
Yeah, a lot of those friends and coworkers are leaving cards, candles, and condolences here at this small memorial on Varsity Drive and Western Boulevard. That's where that incident you just showed happened last night, just before 6 o'clock. Now, friends tell us the victim is 23-year-old Anthony Day. They tell me that Day was involved in the Itasha community, which is a car decorated with images of characters from anime or video games. You can see his car here with those images last night on Western Boulevard and Varsity Drive. According to Raleigh police, officers responded to that intersection just after 5 o'clock for a minor motor vehicle collision, rather. But when they arrived, they located Day suffering from a gunshot wound. Multiple cars were involved in this wreck. Day, as his friends say, died at the scene. They say he graduated from Heritage High School and was a manager at Cookout, which is just a few blocks away from this scene. Raleigh police right now say no suspects are in custody. They also say that they believe this was an isolated incident and there is no threat to the public. This, of course, is an ongoing investigation, and we're working to learn more today from Raleigh police.
Chelsea Donovan reporting live from Western Boulevard. Chelsea, thanks.
And we have a look right now. This is video of the hazy skies over Valcruces. It's in Watauga County right now, and Canadian wildfire smoke creating these hazy skies, poor air quality all across our area this afternoon. Our air quality is code orange for the rest of the day. And Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at when some might see some improvement.
We started monitoring these numbers very early this morning. We started at about 135, and that number bumped up to about 142. We're back down to 136. So we really haven't seen a whole lot of change. That 136 keeps us solidly right there in code orange. 151 would be code red. It looks like potentially later this afternoon, we'll start to see those numbers coming down a little bit, potentially to 108 by the end of the day. And we're going to see a switch in our wind direction that's going to start to push more of this smoke out of here late tonight and into the day tomorrow. But we are going to have to deal with it the rest of the day. We have a code orange air quality alert for the entire viewing area. That means it's unhealthy for sensitive groups to spend much time outside. That's going to be the elderly, very young children, or anyone with asthma or respiratory issues. Just want to take it easy. This is a look at our current map of air quality, and our entire viewing area is in code orange right now. And you can see earlier this morning, we had parts of Moore County that were under that code red, and Moore County still under that code red, but we've seen more of our viewing area move into orange. The heat's also going to be an issue for us. Our temperature is on the left. It's 89 in Durham and Raleigh, but it feels like 93. It already feels like 95 in Fayetteville and 97 in Goldsboro. We'll see widespread triple-digit heat indices today, and that is going to continue for the next several days. Our high temperature this afternoon climbing up to around 95 degrees. We have only a tiny chance for thunderstorms today, but that chance goes up tomorrow and Thursday as we have a level one, and Thursday a level one and two risk for severe storms. I'll show you more about that coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we are following some breaking news out of North Korea this afternoon. We're learning that a U.S.-American soldier crossed the border from South Korea into North Korea. The U.S. military said that he went willfully and without authorization. He was not in uniform, and he was on tour as a civilian. They say that he was on a tour of a Korean border village there. There were no immediate details about why he crossed the border or how. He is believed to be in North Korean custody. right now. He is the first American detained in North Korea in nearly 5 years. And the UN command has come out and said that they are working with their North Korean counterparts to resolve this incident.
An update to a breaking news story out of Nash County this morning. Deputies were searching for someone who stole a pickup truck. WRL's Ken Smith is here now with the new information he just got from the Nash County Sheriff. Ken.
Yeah, but he just got off the phone with Sheriff Keith Stone about what was happening this morning near the old Middlesex Road there in Nash County. Let's get right to this Sky 5 video from around 8:30 this morning when this all unfolded. According to Sheriff Stone, the search continues for someone who stole a pickup truck out of Wilson County. Deputies got wind of all this when the person was seen driving the pickup truck through a cornfield. That's not something you see every day, especially since it isn't really a piece of farm equipment. Deputies were able to locate the truck and searched extensively for the driver, but again, that person has not been found. Sheriff Stone says that truck has been towed from the cornfield and is now part of the investigation to figure out who stole that truck and, of course, locate the owner. Now, the sheriff says no one was hurt and no roads had to be closed while that search happened. Of course, we'll continue to monitor this story. Look for any new information online and starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
Driving through a cornfield, a red flag there. Mm-hmm. Ken, thank you. We're working to learn the names of the two people who were taken into custody after a stolen pickup truck crashed in Durham. This happened near Snow Hill and Old Oxford Road. Video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker shows state troopers and sheriff's deputies at the crash site. We also saw deputies from Person County at the scene. We're told no one was hurt.
Today, a new leader will be chosen for North Carolina's largest school system. The Wake County Board of Education plans to choose a new superintendent. WRAL's Laura Levine joins us with what we can expect.
We're here outside Wake County Public Schools headquarters where school leaders will meet for their regular meeting. As we know, this isn't just any meeting. Superintendent Kati Moore, who announced earlier this year that she will retire, will kick the meeting off with an update on the district search for the next leader. The school board is set to consider a permanent contract today for a new superintendent. That's according to the board's agenda. The board held two rounds of interviews for candidates in June. Last week, a spokesperson confirmed to WRAL the board did not plan to do any more interviews following that. This spring, the school board decided not to reveal applicant names until they selected a final candidate. The board believed they could attract more candidates by doing things this way. By the end of this meeting, the school board will vote on a new superintendent, and if the board approves, it's still unclear when that hire date will be. The meeting begins at 5:30 this afternoon. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Cary.
A new study finds the Triangle's communities are some of the most educated cities in the U.S. WalletHub ranked Durham and Chapel Hill as the sixth most educated community in the U.S. Raleigh and Cary are in the eighth spot. The study looked at data including the percentage of graduate or professional degree holders, university quality, and the gender education gap. Take a live look at stocks. And as we head towards midweek, you can see the Dow Jones Industrial Average has stayed in positive territory all day today, right now up 363 points.
Two big names in English soccer are in the Triangle. Chelsea and Wrexham are having an open training tonight at Wake Med Soccer Park ahead of their game tomorrow, ahead of their match tomorrow at Keenan Stadium in Chapel Hill. Wrexham's training session is set to start at 5. Chelsea will start around 6:30. Tickets are still available. They start at $15. Park and ride via Tar Heel Express tickets have sold out and are no longer available. You can learn more on WRLSportsFan.com. The stage is set for the 2023 Women's World Cup. It kicks off Thursday night in Australia and New Zealand. The U.S. women play their first game Friday night at 9 against Vietnam. You can catch all the action on Fox 50.
The next Powerball winner will become an instant billionaire. Yeah, with a B. The jackpot for tomorrow night's drawing is now $1 billion, the third largest in the game's history. No one matched all the numbers to win last night's jackpot. Five tickets, though, in our state won $50,000. One person is holding a ticket worth $200,000. Here's a look at the winning numbers from last night. 5, 8, 9, 17, 41, and 21 was the Powerball. The $50,000 winners in our state matched four of the numbers and the Powerball. The $200,000 winner did that, but played the Power Play as well. The Power Play was four. Tonight's Mega Millions drawing has a huge jackpot as well. That game prize is now $640 million. You can watch that drawing live on WRL right before our 11 o'clock news.
Next at noon, the U.S. is returning antiques to their rightful owner in India. How the stolen treasures got here and how much they're worth.
Also, it's monsoon season in Arizona, but this is very different. What caused this dust up over the desert?
And a strange find in a neighborhood outside Chicago, a missing emergency slide from an airliner. At 12:30, hear from the homeowner who found it.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Access to critical services, jobs, lifelong learning, as well as cultural participation all depend on digital equity. North Carolina Central University has created a program to help level the playing field. Joining us now to talk about the Digital Equity Leadership Program is Siobhan Grady, who's an assistant professor and the program director of information science at NCCU, as well as Jessica Mitch Holmes, the CEO and co-founder of the nonprofit Momentum. Great to have you ladies join the program. First, we'll start with you, Dr. Grady. How do you define digital equity? What does that mean?
Yeah, so digital equity defined is just how people are able to access technology. And a lot of that is not equal for everyone. There are people in rural communities or sometimes even a large city like Durham where they just may not have access to the technology, which creates what we call a digital divide. So we want people to have access so they can be up to speed, not only with technology, but have those skill sets that they need to be successful within the workforce as well.
And what one concrete way to bridge that digital divide is this Digital Equity Leadership Program. Talk about what problems and gaps you identified with this and how you hope it addresses it.
So as I was mentioning, a lot of times there is a huge gap. So with Durham being, it's basically an urban city, North Carolina Central University is right at the forefront because we're in the city and there are a lot of communities right around North Carolina Central University that may not have access. That might look like people of color or elderly or those who are seasoned senior citizens who may not have access. And what we want to do, that's one of the things we outlined in our gap, is that people of color oftentimes don't have access to technology. People who are elderly or maybe senior citizens don't have access to technology or have those skill sets. So those are the things that we identified. And with COVID-19 hitting or the pandemic, that divide, it widened. And so what we want to do is we want to change what that narrative looks like so that, you know, everyone can have access and things can be equitable for all people.
And part of this effort to change the narrative is also partnering with community partners. Let's bring in Jessica with Momentum. Talk about what Momentum is and how you're helping NCCU with this program.
Thank you. Momentum is a company focused on workforce development through training people for high-tech jobs, specifically jobs in coding and software engineering, which we know Durham, particularly downtown Durham and the areas around North Carolina Central's campus, those jobs have been growing over the past several years and will continue to grow. So we are a partner with North Carolina Central, one of many partners in this effort, and we are rolling out a training program that starts on September 18th. It is a part-time, twice-a-week program that is providing Durham residents with the skill set needed to obtain jobs in the high-growth tech industry. This program, thanks to the federal grant, is for free for Durham residents. Typically, when Momentum has rolled out this program, the tuition for the part-time role is $15,000 and above. And so we are really excited about this partnership and this federal grant because this is training, this is job skills education that is now going to be offered through North Carolina Central and Momentum's partnership to Durham residents for free.
Jessica, that is awesome. We have just a little time. Let our viewers know how they can get involved in this program if they want to take advantage of this free training.
www.momentumlearn.com. You can see applications there. We are actively taking applications and vetting for a limited amount of seats in this first program that starts on September 18th. We encourage folks to get their applications in as soon as they can.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Grady with North Carolina Central University and Jessica Mitch Holmes with Momentum. Thank you for letting our viewers know about your efforts to work toward digital equity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The U.S. has returned more than 100 trafficked antiques to India. The return of these artifacts follows a recent visit to Washington by India's prime minister. These items have an estimated value of over $4 million. They were linked to a disgraced New York art dealer who was sentenced to 10 years in prison on smuggling charges. The U.S. previously returned more than 300 looted treasures last year as part of a 15-year investigation into international trafficking networks. Investigators are working to figure out the story behind a mysterious object that washed up on a beach in Western Australia.
Like a tank of some description, fiberglass, plastic on the inside, and just it looked beautiful out in the water when it was floating in on Saturday.
But quite odd. Look at it, a gold-colored round object there washed up near a town about 150 miles from Perth. It appears to have cables or wires hanging out of the top of it. Local authorities say it is not a threat to the public, and that's after police had initially labeled it a hazard. The object will be removed from the beach once it is identified.
Is it just me or it looks a little like the acorn at a first night celebration?
So odd.
It could be. Monsoon season began in the middle of June in Arizona, but there hasn't been much rain. That all changed yesterday after a major dust storm formed in the East Valley. The storm came hours after thunderstorms touched down in Phoenix. The dust made it very difficult for people to see and breathe. Monsoon season typically runs from June 15th to September 30th. Meanwhile, air quality concerns are plaguing people along the East Coast. At the Jersey Shore, some restaurants closed early due to the unhealthy air. The problem is from wildfires in Canada. New Jersey is experiencing another day of haze and smoke. A code orange alert is in effect today there and for us as well here.
Almost like here we go again with that. I'm waiting to hear the flight delays and things like that out of New York, like what happened last time. Mm. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRO Severe Weather Center right now with our air quality and where we stand.
Yes, that's right. So we're sitting at code orange right now and likely to stay there all day. However, it's the potential that our numbers could begin to drop a bit later on today. There's lots of haze out there. That forecast comes from the Department of Air Quality. This is a look at a big picture across a good chunk of the country. Lots of code yellow, a little bit of code orange up into the Northeast, but that's improved some since this morning, but we're still looking at this pocket of poorer air quality. All this has come from the fires in Western Canada. If you remember in June, we had all of that coming from Eastern Canada around Quebec. This is now coming from Western Canada around British Columbia and Alberta, and it's remained here in a pocket because our winds have become a little bit lighter. Our winds will start to pick up tomorrow and begin to start to push some of this northward and away from us, and that should help to mix and clear things out a little bit. We have one little pocket here of code red, and that includes most of Moore County, so down around the Sandhills. Everybody else in our viewing area sitting at code orange. Of course, we talked about what that means. It's just unhealthy for sensitive groups like anybody who has asthma, respiratory issues, or anybody who is elderly or young children. This is a look at our model that shows us where the smoke is and where it's headed, and you can see it's still on the light-ish side, but begins to move northward as we get into the overnight period. Tomorrow morning at around 8 a.m., we actually have a nice clear spot, but this last little bit of it may come swinging through during the afternoon tomorrow. Still, our forecast from the Department of Air Quality is for that to be code yellow tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. Once we get to this afternoon and evening, we get into a stronger flow from the south that will begin to clear out some of that smoke that's over us right now. So again, code orange today, potentially code yellow Wednesday and Thursday. And code yellow is pretty typical for us. Most hot, humid summer days in our area, we're at code yellow. We take a live look at Lake Gaston. Looks like a nice place to be, especially in the heat. But with the smoke, it may not be appropriate for everybody to be out there. Healthy adults should be fine today, though. 89 right now, the dew point of 69, but on our way into the mid-90s, we'll see 95 in Durham and Raleigh and 96 this afternoon in Fayetteville. With that added moisture in the atmosphere, we're sitting at steamy right now. We'll have to deal with a heat index, and that will just go up as we get into the next few days. Watch how we turn darker green late Wednesday and into into Thursday will add more moisture into the atmosphere, which will make that heat index go even higher. So 102 today, 103 tomorrow, 106 potentially on Thursday. 105 is the threshold for a heat advisory that gets issued by the National Weather Service. So it's possible Thursday we would go under a heat advisory. After that, it begins to step down, and check out Saturday, a high of 90 with a heat index of 92, and it doesn't look like we'll see any rain. So we get a little bit of a break from all this heat and humidity over the weekend. But we have 4 days in a row that we'll be dealing with it. Tomorrow and Thursday, we have a better chance for thunderstorms with a risk of severe weather. And I'll show you what to expect coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. As we continue to monitor air quality concerns, Five on Your Side has you covered.
Canadian wildfires, traffic pollution, air quality is a real concern. Coming up, Five on Your Side shares how you can track it and what you can do to keep the bad air out.
And we've been talking about it for weeks. Tomorrow it happens. Wrexham faces off with Chelsea in Chapel Hill. Tonight on your News at 5, Shelley Jackson looks at the economic benefits with the soccer match expected to bring in more than $1 million. Well, still ahead this noon, we have heard the stories of billionaire Elon Musk gutting Twitter offices around the world after his takeover. Now some former employees accuse the social media company of ghosting them after the buyout.
And the search is on for the best-looking state trooper cruiser in the nation. How North Carolina is paying homage to the past.
An old iPhone goes for six figures at auction, and Marriott is betting on Vegas. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Marriott is betting big on Las Vegas thanks to a new partnership with MGM Resorts. Rewards members of each company will be able to link to the other's loyalty program to earn and use points. The deal gives Marriott a big presence on the Vegas Strip. Its loyalty members can now use points at properties like the Bellagio. And for MGM, it gets access to Marriott's Bonvoy Rewards program and its 180 million members. Marriott is the world's largest hotel company with 31 brands and $22 billion in sales last year. An unopened first-generation iPhone has sold for a record-breaking $190,000 at auction. That's more than 317 times the original retail price of $599 back in 2007. This phone is considered the holy grail for iPhone collectors due to its 4 gigabytes that was discontinued after 2 months because customers preferred the 8 gigabyte version. The phone belonged to a member of the original Apple engineering team when the iPhone came out. You'll have to pay up to see Lionel Messi's U.S. debut in person. The soccer superstar is expected to play his first game with Inter Miami this Friday. Tickets on Vivid Seats have been listed for as much as $57,000 each. One media report said tickets top $100,000 earlier, but there are cheaper options. Some tickets are listed for under $500. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
And there are more legal woes for billionaire Elon Musk. Former workers at Twitter's only office in Africa say the company has refused to pay them severance. The group says Twitter did not even formally begin discussing a separation agreement with them until after CNN reported on their case. After that, they say they were lowballed and forced into accepting a severance offer of 3 months' pay and repatriation costs for foreign workers who moved to Ghana for the job. The group agreed to the terms in May but has not heard back from the company.
It will cost you a little more to watch some of your favorite shows on Peacock. NBC Universal is raising prices for the streaming service by as much as $2 a month. The increase comes as Peacock continues to lose money. It's been spending more on live sports and original content. Peacock's premium plan will increase to $5.99 a month, while the ad-free tier will increase by $2 to $11.99 a month. The changes go into effect immediately for new customers and August 17th for current subscribers. TikTok now supports passkeys on the iPhone. It's the latest app to add support for passkey authentication, letting users log into their accounts using biometrics such as Face ID and Touch ID. Once you set it up, your passkey is saved to the iCloud keychain, so it will work on your other Apple devices. For now, TikTok is only rolling out this feature in Asia, Africa, Australia, and South America, with the U.S. to follow.
It was raining plane parts over Chicago, and now the FAA is investigating what caused a mid-air mishap.
First, here's a look at the winning North Carolina education lottery numbers.
shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Smoke from the Canadian wildfires is polluting our air once again, and that means vulnerable groups will want to limit their time outdoors.
The unhealthy air could be particularly bad for children, people with asthma, or those with heart or lung disease. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with how long this orange air quality alert could last.
It's likely to last for the rest of the day today, but as we talked about a little while ago, we're going to see our winds shifting to southerly, and that's going to start to push some of this out of here. Right now, our number is at 136, which is orange. 108 is orange, but it's on the lower end of orange. Once we get down to 100, we're in yellow. That's the forecast from the Department of Air Quality, so we'll see that. Watch how that goes. We haven't seen much of a change today. It's been 130 to 140 or so. Our air quality alert to code orange means it's unhealthy for sensitive groups, which would be the elderly, young children, or people with asthma or respiratory issues. Doesn't mean it's unhealthy for everyone, but we do have this paired with a high heat index, so that heat index around 101, 102. Of course, you just want to, you know, be aware of how your body is taking all of this together. Our air quality, we just dropped off that whole red section, so that's definitely good news. So we're still sitting in orange, but no longer are the Sandhills in code red. We're looking at a heat index right now of 93 in Durham and Raleigh. The heat index is in the white box on the right. It feels like 95 in Fayetteville, 97 in Goldsboro, and 93 in Southern Pines. Still feels like 84 up in Roxboro. They've been seeing the good end of this for sure. Highs will climb into the mid-90s, and the heat index will top out at around 102, 103 across our area this afternoon. We also have a chance for some scattered thunderstorms. Very few of those today, but a better chance tomorrow and Thursday with a chance of some severe storms. I'll show you the timeline coming up.
And we will have to deal with the smoky haze all day today. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains how this will affect North Carolina's overall air quality if these poor air conditions continue.
It's a hazy day at Fletcher Park, and today makes at least 10 times that we've seen a code orange air quality alert in our viewing area since April. And that code orange means that this air quality isn't healthy for sensitive groups like children, the elderly, and those who have illnesses that impact their lungs. All of this is a result of the massive wildfires that are sweeping across Canada. More than 900 fires are burning in the country right now. Two-thirds of them are burning out of control. This has been a problem for weeks with the smoke from the fires sweeping across the U.S.
The air pollution that's caused by these wildfires is essentially rolling back years of improvement that we've made in North Carolina in improving our air quality.
That was environmental expert Dr. William Vizuete with UNC. He says that this level of exposure could have some serious health implications if those sensitive groups continue to get this level of exposure at such a high frequency. He says it could cause long-term illness. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Right at the top of the hour, a special swearing-in ceremony got underway in Cumberland County. The Board of Elections is swearing in its new members on Fountainhead Lane. Irene Grimes, James Baker, Linda DeVore, Derek Edmonds, and Billy R. King will take their oaths of office. Starting this fall, people in North Carolina can use one of 99 different types of identification cards to vote. It comes as the state prepares to ask voters to show ID at the polls. Voters who don't have an acceptable photo ID can get one for free from the DMV. Voters who vote by mail will be asked to include a photocopy of an ID with their ballot or complete an ID exception form for absentee voting. You can read more about the new ID requirements online at WRL.com.
Federal officials are investigating after a United airplane lost its emergency slide midair. This happened yesterday near Chicago's O'Hare International Airport. Christian Farr spoke with the homeowner who made the discovery.
To have something like that fall off a plane and land in my backyard and hit my house is very surprising.
What fell from the sky and hit Patrick DeWitt's Northwest Side home this afternoon was captured in these photos and then spelled out in this police dispatch call.
This is an emergency slide off of a wing of a Boeing aircraft.
It was an emergency slide from a United aircraft that hit Patrick's home shortly after 12 o'clock. Patrick was not there at the time, but his father-in-law...
The plane dropped something, right?
The plane dropped something.
Yeah.
And young son James were inside the house having lunch. Patrick came home a short time later.
And then I go back there, and there's a giant airplane slide in the backyard just laying across my mother-in-law's garden. So we weren't sure what it was at first. We didn't know that it was a slide at the time, so we tried to get it out as quickly as we could because we thought it might have been hazardous.
Not only did the slide damage a garden, but it also damaged some shingles on the roof and ripped a screen. But Patrick describes it as just cosmetic damage.
I want to send someone from O'Hare out here, I'm going to try to get a hold of the FAA.
After calling police, Patrick says a crew from United came out to pick up the slide. The FAA says it fell off of a plane that landed at O'Hare from Switzerland. And in an email, United said it immediately contacted the FAA and are working with our team to better understand the circumstances around this matter. Patrick is just happy no one was injured from this falling slide.
And everybody on is safe, healthy. That's really all that matters to us at the end of the day.
Yeah, how does that happen? James wants to know, too. That was Christian Farr reporting. The FAA is now leading the investigation into what happened.
Maybe. A summer surge in food and gas prices can be traced to what's happening in other countries. We'll explain the international impacts that will affect your budget.
And parents, sometimes we try to pack in a lot with our families during the summer. Ways to keep it all from getting overwhelming and to stress less so you can better enjoy this time of year.
This week, Russia and its allies are taking steps to drive up food and gas prices. Amy Kiley reports on how their plan is affecting people around the world.
I hope that every country is watching this.
Events happening overseas could be a blow to American wallets.
Today's decision by the Russian Federation will strike a blow to people in need everywhere.
Moscow says it will no longer allow Ukraine to safely export grain. Ukraine usually accounts for 10% of the world's wheat exports. The price has already ticked up in global markets.
I think it'll drive inflation higher, particularly in those very volatile food and energy categories.
Meanwhile, AAA says within the past 2 weeks, gas prices have been edging higher. That says Saudi Arabia makes good on its plan to reduce oil production this summer. And now Iran is adding another complication.
It threatens U.S. and global interests quite a bit.
The Pentagon is taking action to defend merchant ships in this critical strait. It says Iran has been harassing and even attacking them.
Particularly oil. So much of that flows through the Strait of Hormuz. That's a choke point for the Middle East that has global trade implications.
And when the cost of food and gas go up, it prompts the Federal Reserve to intervene. It's signaling it will raise interest rates again this month and probably next month, too.
I think the Fed's quite a long way, actually, away from declaring victory on inflation.
I'm Amy Kiley reporting.
Between camps, sports, and also work, it can be easy for parents to feel overwhelmed. We'll offer some guidance to help you manage busy schedules.
Plus, there's something for everyone in Barbie Land. One of the actors explains why she thinks the movie will appeal to a broader audience.
Today is the best day ever. So is yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever. Yeah!
Welcome back as we take a live look at Carolina Beach. It is packed with people taking advantage of this hot and humid day. The air quality there is a little better than what we're dealing with here today. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
If you're getting there with kids in tow, you want to pay attention to this. A warning if you're looking to save money when buying a car seat. Experts say many may unknowingly be putting their child in danger with a counterfeit or fake car seat. Counterfeit car seats are made with cheaper, flimsier materials than a real one. That makes them unable to withstand the forces that happen in a crash. Many of these car seats are sold online. Experts say you should never buy a car seat from a third party and look closely at the labels.
If it did not come with a registration card or a car seat manual, that could also be an indicator that it's counterfeit.
If you're worried about your car seat, you can find a trained technician in your area to make sure that it's safe.
With most kids on summer break still, parents have a lot more on their plates these days, like juggling camps, sports, and also their jobs. It can quickly become overwhelming. So what can they do to stay sane with those busy summer schedules? A psychologist suggests parents have a broad plan for summer and then take it week by week, making changes as they need to. And don't feel pressured to follow a strict schedule with your kids. You also shouldn't feel bad if you have to say no to things. And finally, don't be afraid to ask for help. She knows some parents may feel guilty about it, but they shouldn't.
Sometimes people feel like they don't want to impose on people or that they should be able to do it all. Like, I should be able to do this. These are my kids. I should be able to manage it. I don't want to burden somebody, they're busy too. And we need to remember that other people can say no to us. So if we never ask, then we never give that person the opportunity to decide for themselves.
If you notice your stress or anxiety levels do not seem to be getting any better with time, she recommends speaking with a mental health professional.
Pediatric experts say they are encouraged by a newly approved RSV vaccine for kids. The FDA gave its approval yesterday to Beyfortus. It's an injectable, laboratory-made antibody treatment to help fight off RSV in toddlers and babies. Two experts who spoke with WREL say they're excited, but there are still questions to be answered.
It's the number one cause of hospitalizations in the United States for infants under a year of life. So this is really a big advancement.
We have to figure out how much this product is going to cost and are there going to be, you know, health equity issues? Are all insurance companies going to pay for it? Is the federal government going to pay for it? And that piece still needs to be sorted out.
CDC advisors will meet next month to recommend who should get the drug.
The countdown is on. We are less than 3 days away from the debut of Greta Gerwig's live-action Barbie movie. Margot Robbie leads a star-studded cast, playing the iconic doll alongside Ryan Gosling as Ken. The cast says fans can expect the unexpected. America Ferreira, who did not grow up playing with Barbie, praises the film for its diverse cast.
I didn't really feel very represented in the world of it. So really, I felt like I had no relationship to Barbie. And the thing that's so great about getting to be a part of this story, the way it's told, is that we're changing that story. We're changing the narrative to include more of us. Get that
Barbie! The heavily publicized Barbie movie includes different versions of Barbie, including Issa Rae as President Barbie and SNL alum Kate McKinnon as Weird Barbie. And Kingsley Ben-Adir and Simu Liu as other versions of Ken. So quite the star-studded cast. We will see how this movie does because that marketing machine has been on fire for weeks leading up to the debut of the Barbie movie.
Friday?
Oh, yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
I think we should wear all pink Friday.
Pink Friday.
What do you think?
Okay. We'll do it.
Be able to pull this off. We can see through the smoke maybe out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with that air quality alert.
I have the perfect Barbie pink dress. So
all right, let's go.
You guys say the word.
Meteorologist Barbie.
Let's go. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. orange is not, you know, a dress that we not necessarily want to be putting on today, but we do have that code orange air quality alert, which means it's unhealthy for sensitive groups like the elderly, young children, or anybody with respiratory issues. That's the entire viewing area. We're starting to see a little bit of improvement. We had just a big swath of red that was covering parts of the Sandhills, particularly Moore County earlier today. That has bounced back to orange, which is good news. And then a little bit of yellow just north of Durham. So I think we're coming along. We're going to watch our wind shifting to southerly today, and that's going to gradually start to push some of that smoke away from us. We'll widen out the view, and you can see really we have this pocket here across the southeast where we have poor air quality. And I feel like that's because we had it coming in from the northwest, and then it moved in here, and there's not been a lot of wind to push it along since it's arrived. But that changes tomorrow as we start to see it moving back up to the north. This is a look at, again, where that smoke is likely to be at around 11 o'clock tonight. Watch how it pushes northward, but then some of it may get trapped near this trough and swing across the area. But at this point, it's likely to be at code yellow. And code yellow is something that we see very regularly here in the summertime. So code orange today, and then it looks like Wednesday and Thursday, we're back to code yellow. But we'll have our own issues for Wednesday and Thursday, I tell you what. We take a live look at what's going on across our area right now, and we're looking at gray conditions, or at least conditions that are very hazy across our area. Watch that little box that pops up, severe thunderstorm watch well to our west. We're not likely to go under a severe thunderstorm watch. Today's going to be nice and quiet for us in terms of our afternoon storms. We'll roll through starting here at noon, and you can see some cloud cover pops up and maybe one or two showers, but most of us will stay dry. Potentially tomorrow morning, a quick little shower, and then in the afternoon and evening, a chance of some thunderstorms. One or two of those could produce some wind damage tomorrow. We do have a level one risk. And then on Thursday, possibly right around lunchtime, we begin to see some storms develop, and those continue on at least through around sunset or so. So here's our severe threat for tomorrow. It's most of the viewing area. It cuts off before we get down to Fayetteville. And then for Thursday, again, most of the viewing area, but it doesn't include our northeastern counties. That's level one. And then level two is down here across mainly Moore, Hoke, and Cumberland County. It does include Fayetteville and Southern Pine. So we're watching Thursday very closely. Thursday is also the day where we could end up seeing a heat advisory. Right here, it's almost hard to pick out right now, but that is Tropical Storm Don. It was a tropical depression there for a bit, but it's back to life at 40 miles per hour. And you can see it just sort of wanders around here, eventually heading northward into the Atlantic, kind of skirting by some of the Caribbean, Canadian Maritimes, and bringing them maybe some waves, but it doesn't look like it would make landfall. Heat index is going to be in the triple digits for us today, tomorrow, all the way into Friday, but a nice little break from the heat and humidity Saturday and Sunday. It's still going to be 90 degrees. But that humidity drops nicely. We'll be right back with your top stories.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A memorial is growing for a man who was shot and killed along Western Boulevard, steps away from NC State in Raleigh. Police responded to a crash near Varsity Drive last night. When they got there, they found a man with a gunshot wound. Friends tell WRAL that man was 23-year-old Anthony Day. Police say no one is in custody.
Canadian wildfire smoke is creating hazy skies and poor air quality across our area. Our air quality is code orange for the rest of the day, which is dangerous for sensitive groups. Wind will help push some of that smoke out of our area tonight and into tomorrow.
We will soon know who will take charge of North Carolina's largest school system. Tonight, the Wake County Board of Education is set to choose a new superintendent. Superintendent Caddy Moore retired this month. Look for updates during our evening news starting at 4.
North Carolina hopes to race to the top of a nationwide contest. A pretty cool one here. The American Association of State Troopers kicked off the 2023 National Best Looking Cruiser Contest. This year's photo submission pays homage to the North Wilkesboro Speedway, which opened in 1947. Fittingly, the photo features the new Chevy Tahoe parked alongside a 1947 Buick. The contest wraps up at the end of the month. Visit the State Highway Patrol Facebook page to vote. The top 13 winners will have their state's photo featured in a 2024 calendar. And proceeds from the calendar sales will benefit the American Association of State Troopers Foundation, which provides educational scholarships to dependents of member troopers.
Those are some sleek looking rides. Now to New Bedford, Massachusetts, where some people say a seagull sculpture is too sexy for the public. The statue, called Seagull Cinderella, first landed in the city in 2016. This year she's back, but she's no longer topless. Still, some people are circulating a petition to have it removed. The creator says the sculpture helps raise money for an organization in New Bedford that helps women who are experiencing breast cancer treatment.
Our pet of the day has lots of personality and cuteness for a compact dog. Tammy is joy-filled, tail wagging, 31-pound. And she is about 1 year old, well-behaved, and just occasional bursts of youthful excitement. She's good with other dogs, and volunteers at Red Barn Rescue think that she would be fine with cats as well. Make her part of your family. Just visit redbarnrescue.com.
She sounds like us. Occasional bursts of youthful excitement.
That's right. Here's one now as we get out the door. NBC News Daily is up next on WRAL, your next local update in 30 minutes.
And remember, get breaking news updates anytime on WRAL.com.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.